may say, the Sermon on the Mount is not in Romans chapter 5, and it's not. I decided to take at least 1 week off from the Sermon on the Mount series. Wanted to do a lesson this morning because of the timing of it, since we celebrated Christmas yesterday, and this is the season of giving and receiving of gifts. I want to do a lesson from primarily based in Romans 5, thinking about the greatest gift and what makes a gift great, or what makes a gift truly have value. I'm sure, if we had some time to think about it, we could each of us come up with some ideas of what are some of the greatest gifts that we've ever received. And, we think about some of the reasons why those gifts were meaningful to us, why they meant a lot to us, or why they still mean a lot to us. You probably, if you were here last Sunday, you probably realized that I wasn't here last Sunday. And I didn't announce that ahead of time because we were gone to New York on a surprise gift for my daughters. And it was hard to make an announcement with they were always here with me. But that was a gift because I have a deep love of the city of New York and have been able to go there. I don't know how many times I've been to New York, dozens upon dozens of times. Love the city, and I really love it at Christmas, and I wanted to be able to share the city at Christmas with them, hoping that they would be able at some point to look back on that as, a special gift for them, a memory, not something, not a toy to play with, but a memory that they would have for the rest of their lives. But this morning I want to think about a different gift, and that is the gift that I believe is the greatest gift, and that is the gift of Jesus in the crucifixion, Jesus giving himself. And all of this with the idea of asking the question, which I put in the bulletin, which is, what things determine the true value of a gift? And as I said, primarily I'm going to be based in Romans 5. We'll jump around a little bit, but I want us to think through, and I've given you a bunch of blanks to fill out if you want to. If you don't want to, don't worry about it. But if you want to fill out the blanks, feel free. But thinking about what things determine the true value of a gift, and the premise that the crucifixion is the greatest gift that we can receive if we choose to accept it. Let's just take a minute and read through Romans chapter 5, beginning in verse 6. To set the context, the first five verses, and I know we're going to have a lot of folks gone tonight, but tonight I plan on preaching from the first five verses of Romans 5. So I'm kind of doing it out of order. But the first five verses, Paul's focus is on the incredible blessings that we have having been justified from our sins, meaning we have been set free from our sins, and here are the incredible blessings that we enjoy because of that. That comes in the first five verses. And the last one of those blessings is the blessing of hope, the hope of glory. We rejoice in the hope of glory, meaning we rejoice in the confidence of being with God for all eternity. And after that, he explains some things that have led to hope, including things like suffering that have led to that confidence. But then coming in verses 6 through 11, he begins to focus on the reason why we have that confidence. And he says this. He says, for, here's a conclusion, while we were still weak, at the right time, Christ died for the ungodly. For one will scarcely die for a righteous person, though perhaps for a good person, one would dare even to die. But God shows his love for us in that while we were sinners, Christ died for us. Since therefore we have now been justified by his blood, much more shall we be saved by him from the wrath of God. For if while we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his son, much more now that we are reconciled shall we be saved by his life. More than that, we also rejoice in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have now received reconciliation. And so again, back to the question, what things determine the true value of gift? Paul here is explaining that God has given us an incredible gift through his son. But what things make this gift so incredibly valuable? The first thing that I have on the bulletin is the first point, which I have written, the level of sacrifice. The word that I have there is the word magnitude. Magnitude. The first thing that determines the value of a gift that is received is the level of sacrifice of the one who gives it. The level of sacrifice. How much did someone give up to give me the gift? Does that make sense? How much did someone give up to give me the gift? I use the word magnitude there because ultimately I'm going to have them all begin with the letter M because you know that's just how I roll. But when I think of magnitude, I think of earthquakes, right? When you hear about an earthquake, especially out in California, you hear about earthquakes and you hear about, it was a magnitude, 4.7 or 6.2, and that's on a thing called the Richter scale, which most of us have heard of. I didn't know this until I recently was reading about it, that the Richter scale, I think, goes from 1 to 10, that each time you move up a number, that's a 30-fold increase in impact. I had no idea it was that. A difference between a 5 and a 6 is a 30 times increase in power of the earthquake. Well, this morning we're not talking about earthquakes, but I'm using the word magnitude to stand for, again, what is the sacrifice, what level of sacrifice is involved in giving the gift. It's more valuable the more one has to give up to give it. And that's based on Scripture. If you want to, go with me to Luke chapter 21, or you can just listen. Most of us know this story. We call it the story of the widow's mite. But you've got Jesus. It says, Jesus looked up and saw the rich putting their gifts into the offering box. And he saw a poor woman put in two small copper coins. And he said, truly I tell you, this poor widow has put in more than all of them. And you go, well, that math doesn't make any sense. If she's only giving up these two very insignificant coins, how does her gift value, how is it valued more than the ones who are giving in, that the rich that are putting in lots of money? And he says, for they have contributed out of their abundance, but she, out of her poverty, put in all that she had to live on. Jesus says she's making the greater sacrifice. The magnitude of her gift is more significant because she's sacrificing more to give it. And so the question from that is, how much did Jesus give up to give us his gift? Jeff led us in the perfect song to prepare us for this idea. Because the song that he led right before the sermon was, Jesus paid it all, right? Everything he had to give, he gave us. Philippians chapter 2, which we covered Philippians in a previous series earlier this year. But Paul said this, have this mind among yourselves, which is yours in Christ Jesus, who though he was in the form of God, did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped, meaning he didn't hang on to the privileges that come with being God. Verse 7, but emptied himself. He allowed himself to be emptied by taking the form of a servant, being born in the likeness of men. So he sacrificed by allowing himself to become fully man. And then it says, and being found in human form, he humbled himself again by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. So Jesus, one, gave up the privileges of being God to allow himself to become man. And then he further sacrificed by allowing himself to die so that we do not have to die eternally. He gave up everything. I'm not going to read any of this to you, but I encourage you sometime to look this up. In 1986, there was an individual, let me read his name, Dr. William Edwards. He wrote an article for the Journal of American Medicine. I said that wrong. It's the Journal of American Medical Association. The Journal of the American Medical Association. He wrote an article on what Jesus would have gone through to be crucified. And you think, that was published in the Journal of American Medical Association? Yes, it was in 1986. Look it up. Just Google it. You can find it. You can read the whole article. But from a medical doctor's perspective, he wrote about what Jesus would have gone through and what his death would have been like. Again, I'm not going to read it to you because it's very graphic. But it helps to bring some appreciation of Jesus as a man, even what he sacrificed so that we would not have to die spiritually. He gave up everything that he had. Go back with me to Romans chapter 5. In Romans 5, I want you to notice in verse 6, it says, Christ died. Verse 8, again, emphasize, Christ died. Down to verse 10, it says, the death of his son. The magnitude of what Jesus gave up for us was everything. He gave up his very life so that we could have life. Again, as the song, the hymn said, he paid everything. The magnitude of his sacrifice was he gave up everything. The second thing that I want you to write down, I've got this phrase, the worthiness of the recipient. And I want you to write down the word merit. The word merit. The idea there is that if the item that you received, if you are worthy of that, what you have received, then it's more like what? It's more like a wage, right? It's more like being paid a wage. I mean, Paul said that in Romans chapter 4. He said, talking about being justified by works, he says, the one who works, his wages are not counted as a gift, but as his due. And so the less we are worthy of the gift, the more value it will have to us, right? Because it truly is a gift. So the question is, how worthy were we of receiving this gift that Jesus gave? Well, go back to Romans 5. Look in verse 6. And here I've given you four blanks. I can't count. Four blanks to fill out here. So did we deserve the sacrifice of Christ? Christ died for us while we were. Look at verse 6. He died for us while we were still weak. Okay, so you can write in the word weak. Then it says Christ, the second part of verse 6, Christ died for the ungodly. I have in my notes the word wicked. So he died for us while we were weak, while we were wicked. Then go down to verses 7 and 8. For one will scarcely die for an unrighteous person, for a righteous person, though perhaps for a good person one would dare even to die. But God shows his love for us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. I have the word wayward. So weak, wicked, wayward. And in verse 10 it says, if while we were enemies, I have the word warlike, we were reconciled to God by the death of his son. Much more now that we are reconciled, shall we be saved by his life. And so were we worthy of the gift? He died while we were weak, wicked, wayward, warlike. No, we could not have been less worthy of the gift that he gave us because we bring nothing to the table to earn what he has given us. And so has the ultimate magnitude, and we have the least worthiness, the least merit. Does that make sense? I mean, we are not worthy in any way of what he did for us in giving up everything. The third thing that I've got listed on there, which is the reason for the gift, and I have the word motivation. The word motivation. What was God's motivation in sending his son for us? The motivation makes a big deal in the value of the gift. I want you to think about this, ladies. If you get flowers from your husband, does it mean more if it's on one of those predefined, you know, occasions that's where you get flowers, like Valentine's Day or your birthday? Or does it mean more if it's just because? When does it mean more? Well, I'm told frequently it means more when it's just because there's not some predefined reason why I'm giving you the flowers. I'm giving you the flowers because I love you. Because I'm thinking about you, because I care about you. It's not because some, you know, federally mandated holiday said that I'm supposed to give you flowers, right? I'm giving you flowers because I want to give you flowers, right? Well, why did God send his son to die for us? Why did he do that? What was his motivation for doing that? You know, probably the most famous passage in all of Scripture, John 3:16, where to set the larger context there, Jesus is having a conversation with a Pharisee, Nicodemus, one of those incredible conversations that are throughout the Gospel of John. And he's having this conversation with Nicodemus, and he's trying to explain to Nicodemus about the new birth, and Nicodemus can't get his mind above the physical. Nicodemus is thinking about being physically born again, and Jesus is talking to him about this great spiritual idea about being born again. And in that conversation comes up where he says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only son." The word that's translated "only" in your Bible might say "only begotten," but the word that's translated "only" means unique, one of a kind. It's the Greek word monogenes, unique, one of a kind. Jesus was the most unique, the most one of a kind son in the history of the world. And Jesus was given, that unique, one of a kind son was given, why? Because God loves us. He so loved us that he sacrificed everything. He so loved us that he sent his unique, one-of-a-kind son. Go back to Romans chapter 5, which is where we're based this morning. Look in verse 8. Well, let's start with verse 7. He says, "One will scarcely die for a righteous person, though perhaps for a good person one would dare even to die. But God shows his love for us in that while we were sinners, Christ died for us." So even though we were as unworthy as we could possibly be, as a matter of fact, we were fundamentally opposed to God, because he said, again, weak, wicked, wayward, warlike. But while we were in that state, being completely unworthy, God had so much love for us that he gave his son anyway. He gave his son because he loved us so much. So his motivation was completely out of love. Now, the last thing that I have there, and I've written this phrase, the significance of the benefit for your life. So we've talked about, you know, it's the level of sacrifice, the magnitude. It's the worthiness of the recipient, the merit. It's the reason why the person gives the gift, the motivation. And now finally, the significance of the benefit. What is the benefit that we receive from the gift? And I have the word meaning there. The significance of the benefit. Ultimately, how does the gift benefit those of us who receive it? How do we benefit from the gift? The more we benefit from it, the more we can use it in our lives, the more value we will have with it, right? The more value we will hold it in. Well, look again back at Romans chapter 5. And thinking about how does the gift of Jesus' crucifixion benefit us. Verse 9, the first part of verse 9. He says, "Since therefore we have now been justified by his blood." And for that I have in my notes the word position. We have been changed. Our position before God has been changed. We are justified. That means we have been set free from our sins. And because we have been set free, we now have a relationship with God that was separated by our sin. So our position has been fundamentally changed because of the gift. The second part of that verse, "Much more shall we be saved by him from the wrath of God." I have written the word protection. The wrath of God. Ultimately, the world is going to be judged by the standard that God has set. And if we're on our own with no help, how are we going to compare to that standard? We're going to fail. We're going to fail, and God's wrath is going to be felt by those who don't live up to his standard. But since we can't live up to it, what is the only way we can receive protection? By the sacrifice of his son. And so the fact that we are protected from the wrath of God is we have the ultimate value from this gift. Verse 10, he says, "For if while we were enemies, we were," and here's a word, "reconciled to God by the death of his son." I have written in the word peace. Peace. We are reconciled, meaning the sin has been removed. The barrier has been removed. We now have a relationship with God that was not possible before, because God cannot be in the presence of darkness, cannot be in the presence of sin. We are at peace with God. The second part of verse 10, he says, "Much more now that we are reconciled, shall we be saved by his life, I have written in the word preservation. Our life has been saved because of this gift, has been preserved. We are now looking forward to eternal life, eternal glory, because we have been saved, we have been preserved. And he says, more than that, we also rejoice in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have now received reconciliation. I have written in the word praise. It has brought, the gift of God has brought us a desire to praise him for what he has done for us. Now, again, a lot of stuff to fill out, but all of that to point to, there is no gift in the history of the world that has ever compared to that. I mean, if you think about those as the criteria, it is at the top of, as high as you can get with every one of those. But, and I put this as a note at the end of the bulletin article, it's only a gift if we accept it. It's only a gift if we accept it. And God has made us creatures of free will. And we have the ability to turn down the gift. We have the ability to choose something else, to choose ourselves. It's only a gift if we accept it. But the beauty of it is, it's available for all of us. God has given this gift and has made it available for all of us. All of us can accept it. And if you're here this morning and you've never accepted the gift of God, the perfect gift of His Son, then why wait another day? Because the gift is there for us to receive it. All we have to do is to make a decision that we're going to follow Him rather than ourselves. We start off to accept it by being buried with Him in baptism, to partake in His death, burial, and resurrection, to come out of that water ready to live a new life, ready to live for Him, with Him as our guide, our master, rather than ourselves. And if you're here this morning and you've never accepted His gift, then why wait another day? If you're here this morning and there's anything else that you need, if you need the prayers of the congregation, you need encouragement, if there's anything we can do for you, will you please come while we sing our invitation song?